When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
The HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Yo, what's happening, Mother Rushers, and welcome to episode 90 of 5 Yard College. Ash, you look surprised on the video stream. If you are joining us on the video stream, thank you very much. We appreciate your watching. If you are a audio OG, you're just going to have to come over to the YouTube channel, hit the subscribe, hit the like, get the bell so you know when we're coming to you live, because Ash's face was a picture. My man, it's post-draft now. How you doing?
It is post-draft, yeah. I finally got over the draft hangover, and now I'm looking forward to the new college season. It's quickly approaching. We're going to be into spring camp if we're not already for some of them. But, yeah, I'm just looking forward to the new season now.
Yeah, for sure. It's a bit of a... I don't know, I'm not going to take shots here at our fellow podcasts, but it's a bit of a shame when the combination of... not necessarily the college season, but our college season is the NFL draft. You know, we build up to looking at all the players entering the draft and who we like and perhaps landing spots and obviously mock draft after mock draft after mock draft. As Ash takes a sip of possibly the best lager in the world, I'll let you decipher that one, ladies and gentlemen. But fantasy football then goes, right, the NFL have got all their players. Let's draft. And the college season, unless you are an ardent fan at that point, completely gets eviscerated from memory because everybody wants to do their rookie drafts. And it's like, no, well, hold up, slow down. Just because the NFL draft has finished, you don't have to get all of your rookie drafts out of the way as soon as the NFL. Because if someone goes down 5 weeks from now in summer camp or something and is out for the whole season, you've drafted. But anyway, we're getting off on a tangent. It's now about the 2022-23 season for us, Ash. We are going to be doing the best players for our season next week. Is that right?
Yeah, we're going to take a look at the top. I haven't decided on a number yet, but I think we'll do the we'll definitely do the top 50, and then we'll sort of focus in on maybe the top sort of 10 to 20 in a bit more detail. But we've got a little sneak peek of that towards the end of the podcast. But yeah, just on your point about the drafts, I completely agree with you. I had like 4 start up on draft like the day after. Luckily, I've left most of my NFL fantasy drafts, and it's a lot of Devy or college drafts now. So I got a little bit of time to relax. But it's crazy just how quickly people want to get on. And then And then that's where you get into the trap when you're in August and joining loads more leagues to just do drafts. Just calm down, hold fire, wait a couple of months, and then go. Get a better understanding of the rosters and, like you say, the players getting injured.
Exactly. And Ash should know, ladies and gentlemen, because he is now back-to-back head coach of the Yeovil Supernovas. The team name's wrong, Ash. I'm very sorry. But congratulations on winning the second league title in a row, right?
Yeah, the lads at Ilchester, won the back to back trophies, which is it was lovely. We celebrated last Saturday, a little bit too hard, but it's got to be done.
It's just you're going for the triple now, the triple crown. It's got to be done, right?
Yeah, 100%. Well, we're the reserves, so we're staying in the same league, so it is a real possibility. That is the expectation for next season on the guys.
I am looking forward to hearing about the celebrations of the triple crown.
I hope so.
Yeah, me too. Right, so we've got some news today. We're going to be going over our preseason, ESPN's preseason top 25. Is that, Ash, like the fantasy drafts released too early, or is this probably the rankings for the season we're going to look at when we hit week zero?
I would say it's a little bit too early. I've chosen ESPN because obviously they're one of the more well-known establishments, and it's probably the closest to my opinion. There is a big team missing that I was surprised to see, but I chose ESPN over some of the other ones that have also done theirs just because it looks a little bit more how I would have it and how you would expect it after the way last season went.
Yeah. While we are on the subject of drafting, Ash, obviously we're going to have the 5-yard showdown again this year.
Yes.
I am now fully committed to Team College after winning it last year. It's only right that you guys have the champ. I say you guys. We have the champ on our team. To win it again would be phenomenal. But we need to come up with who's going to be on our team, who's going to be on the opposition's team, that being 5-yard rush.
Yeah.
Are we going to be fully staff, or are we going to try and rope in some listeners who are dead keen on it? What do you think?
I think we try and rope in some listeners again. We did it last year. We've done it the last 2 years with staff on each side and listeners. And last year definitely was a big improvement. There was commitment throughout the year from most people. We had a few drop-offs. So I definitely think we should get the listeners involved on both sides. And hopefully we get the same sort of commitment. That's all we ask. If you do join it, be committed throughout the season. And we're all have fun. And you'll get to learn some of the players ahead of the NFL draft for next year and ahead of them entering the NFL. So it'll give you a bit more knowledge.
Exactly. I know Jack is going to be doing a lot of work for college fantasy this year with us and trying to write some articles and start some leagues up and stuff. So good luck with that, Jack, if it's on Fantrax. Oh, talking of Fantrax, Ash, did you see the email today saying they're going to be doing an auto bench feature? Did you see that?
I haven't seen it yet, but that's good because that was a killer last year.
Well, is it good? Because it just, at the end of the game, we can subs in the players that you left off.
It does reward people for not setting their lineups.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
You might as well just set a best ball league up. And
yeah, 100%. No, you
best ball, best ball with waivers is ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. Mm. So I don't know if Tom's going to be commissioning it again. If not, I will. And that feature will not be being ticked in the 5-yard showdown. Hopefully, Yahoo bring back their NCAA fantasy. Look, you and I did lead 3 years ago now, yeah. Because that was much better than Fantrax. But anyway, we have digressed for a full 7 minutes, Rust Nation. Thank you ever so much for sticking with us. Right, Ash, let's do some news. Starting in Florida, former Gators quarterback Emory Jones has announced his commitment to play for Arizona State in 2022. Jones will be immediately eligible for Arizona State, and he has 2 years of eligibility remaining, which is bananas. It feels like Emory Jones has been playing football forever in college.
It does, yeah. I mean, it remains to be seen if he'll do the 2 years. If he has a good season, then like most, he'll declare early, but he officially has 2 years left. I think it's a good move. Getting out from Florida, obviously, we saw the split with him and Anthony Richardson last year, and that was going to be even less on his side this year based on what we've seen and heard about Richardson and the commitment Florida have got to him.
Yep.
So it's an opportunity for him to go somewhere and be the starter. And I think Arizona could well be a good landing spot for him because he was a bit shaky, a bit up and down last year. So he's got something to prove heading into 2023, which is going to be difficult if he does declare early, because it is a stacked quarterback group next year.
Yeah, I mean, imagine we'll be talking about some of those names in a little bit at the end of the pod.
Yeah.
Obviously now AR-15 is locked in as the starter in Florida, right? Or is there a freshman there that's pushing him as well?
I would say it's pretty much his job to lose. Now that Jones is gone, they've got Jack Miller has transferred from Ohio State. And they've got freshman Max Brown, but Miller will give Richardson a push throughout the whole of this preseason and off season, the training camps. But I'd be very surprised if Richardson doesn't win out the job. But Miller hasn't gone there to be a backup either. That's the reason why he left Ohio State. So it will be an interesting battle, and one definitely that people should pay attention to.
Absolutely. We've talked about Ohio State. We're going to stay there. They have confirmed the commitment of quarterback Dylan Raiola from the 2024 recruiting class. Raiola chose the Buckeyes over Alabama, Georgia, Texas, and USC. Is this another Quinn Ewers move, Ash, or is this Raiola going there to be the starter after CJ Stroud leaves?
I believe he will win this job when he gets there. Whether they risk putting him as a backup or if they ask him to compete straight away, because CJ Stroud's going to leave this year. There's no doubt about it. I can't see him staying for an extra year when he can declare and go into 2023. You've then got Carl McCord, who is he going to be happy being a backup this year? Maybe not. So, and you've also got Devin Brown, who's coming as a freshman this year, who I believe is a four-star recruit as well. But I think out of those three, McCord, Brown, and Raiola, from what I've seen from Raiola already at high school, he would be my pick. But obviously, we still need to see that transition once he hits Ohio State and obviously the decision they make. But I don't want to see another Ewers, because that's a big talent to lose. But when you've got someone like CJ Stroud there, and you've got someone with you as potential, you can't expect him to sit and wait 2 years before he plays a down.
It's almost a blessing and a curse, Ohio State's quarterback room at the moment, isn't it? You have so many players crammed into that revolving door that is stuck on the starter, but is being pushed by everybody else in the... There's people leaving in the lobby, there's people leaving at the entrance, and it's almost as if... I'm not saying this should definitely happen, but the big schools almost have too many quarterbacks, and there should be you can only have this amount as, and I know that isn't a college football thing, and it's probably me trying to dilute the waters of every other school, but you get somebody like a Quinn Ewers who goes there for a year, possibly just for the NIL deal, and then heads back down to Texas and is now the starter for the Longhorns, we presume. And are we going to be seeing more of that in the future just for NIL deals, and then they'll flip out after redshirt? I don't know. It'd be something that will take a few years to iron out. But
No, it's a good point. It's a very good point. The big schools do have a hold on a lot of these top 4 and 5 star quarterbacks and recruits in general, as you'd expect. It's something that we're never going to get away from. These players are going to want to go to the big schools regardless of who's there. They'll have the confidence that they're going to be out. And then, of course, on the flip side, the schools are going to want the best talent available to sort of have their pick of the lineup when they do arrive. So,
yeah,
it's a shame in one respect, because I think like we saw in the 2023 class, I can't remember his name, but Jackson State have obviously got the 5-star recruit cornerback. Nobody was expecting, and so we might see more of that in the future.
Why do I want to say Travis Hunter? Is that right? Wrong? I think it's wrong. I think I said that name when we talked about him initially, and it was nowhere near that.
It's Travis Hunter. You are correct.
Yeah. Come on, Stocks, have faith in yourself. Well done. Now name the other top wide receiver they got as well.
No. they did well in their recruitment, to be fair, and with Deion Sanders there, and if they have a good year, I can only expect that to improve as well. So
yeah, it would be an interesting thing to look into. I wonder if anyone's done any study on it, on the percentage of quarterbacks that go to the big schools, your Bamas, the Ohio States, Georgias. No, maybe not Georgia. Georgia's a poor example, actually. But the schools we all know, Clemson, renowned for their starting quarterbacks in the NFL. How many people went in from high school, did a year, weren't good enough to break the mold of the quarterback that was there, and then transfer? I wonder what percentage of five-star and four-star prospects end up playing for somewhere else after one year, because the eligibility runs out at that point.
Yeah, well, I mean, a good example is Justin Fields. Obviously, he originally was at Georgia, moved, transferred to Ohio State, and obviously, yeah, he's going into his second year as a starter, but he does seem to be bucking the trend of Ohio State quarterbacks in the NFL, which is nice. Let's just hope his second year is a good one. But no, you're completely right. It'd be very interesting to see, and now you've said it, I'm probably going to do that outside of the podcast, because I want to know. Maybe I'll go back, I don't know, 10 years, something like that. Maybe. Okay. We'll see. If we speak about it next week, listeners, then I did some work. If not, then just forget this conversation ever happened.
It got lost in Ash's ether. Joe Burrow is another one, right? He bounced around and then ended up at LSU and had an almost Bailey Zapp-like season.
Yeah, I can't remember where Burrow originally came from.
Wasn't he?
Oh, he was Ohio State as well. Yeah, of course he was. Yeah, sorry, he was there for 2 years before he went for two years at LSU as well. Sorry. It's Ohio State. Ohio State just seemed to bring in all the quarterbacks and then disperse them out to the rest of the teams. But
before we move on to the next bit of news, Ash, way back when you said Justin Field was bucking the trend of Ohio State, was that a pun? Did you mean that?
Maybe. No, I didn't. Not at all.
But it was superb.
It was great. I wish you didn't bring it up now, because people would have been like, oh, that's a brilliant bit of wordplay he's done there, and now you've exposed me.
But yeah, but I also wanted you to have the, you know, the accolades had you got it. So you should have just...
You knew full well.
I think you're better than you think you are, Ash. So this next bit of news, it shocked me in one way, and that's that Pittsburgh's wide receiver, Jordan Addison, is highly expected to enter the transfer portal. Addison finished 2022, winning the Biletnikoff Award for the nation's top receiver. Reports are that Addison has not made a decision on his next destination. He's weighing up his options. But USC, shock, and Texas are the front runners. Now, the bit that shocked me about this was, normally when we see the Biletnikoff winner, we tend to see one of the most highly prolific receivers going into the draft class, if I'm right. Whereas Jordan Addison won it last year, and we didn't really, because he wasn't in the draft, unless you were a Biletnikoff fan or a big college football fan, that bypassed me completely, that I didn't even know Jordan Addison had won it. Whereas had he been a draft prospect, it would have been in his draft notes, you know, Biletnikoff winner. This guy is obviously we saw it with Jamar Chase, we saw it with Devonta Smith. It's, how good is Jordan Addison?
Everything I've seen, I think Jordan Addison, if he'd have declared, I mean, if he was able to declare early for 2022, I think he would have been right up there in the conversation, but he's only going to get better. For me, he is, at the moment, I would say he's probably my number one wide receiver.
Okay, so he's pretty good then.
Yeah, in college. Obviously, Bootle's up there for LSU. Smith and Jigba is also up there from Ohio State. I've got him above Smith and Jigba at the moment, and that's probably saying a lot considering I am an Ohio State fan. But yeah, he's right up there in the conversation. But you are spot on there. I think 2020 Biletnikoff was Devontae Smith. Obviously, he went that year. Jamar Chase 2019. I want to say Jerry Jeudy was 2018.
No, Ash, your years are...
No, I'm on about the winners.
Right, okay.
The winners of the Biletnikoff,
Yep, you got it.
That's the year they won it, but I don't think Jerry Jeudy went until 2020, did he?
Did Jerry Jeudy win it?
Jerry Jeudy won it in 2018, yeah.
Did he?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because he didn't go for a while, did he?
No.
But back on to Addison. Yeah, Addison for me is the top wide receiver for 2023 class and in college at the moment. Closely followed by Kayshon Boutte, I will add. It's very close between the two of them. But I think that from there, it's probably I wouldn't say a significant drop, but those two are the clear favourites for me. And then I'd say you've probably got Dante Demas from Maryland and Jacob Cowan from Arizona are probably up there as well, just specifically on the 2023 class, that is, and obviously Smith and Jigba as well. But I'd say Addison is my number one and probably the number one in college at the moment.
Interesting.
But his destination, I believe he will end up in Texas.
Oh,
he's been for a visit to Texas. He has worked out with Bryce Young at Alabama, but he hasn't been to Alabama, and that rumor seems to have died down a bit. It does seem to be out of USC and Texas, but for me, I think Texas are the front runners because I believe Sarkisian has got his old receiving coach from Pitt and potentially another one of the coaches from Pitt as well. So if I had to put money on it, I think Addison will end up in Texas.
You cannot sit there and say that he's worked out with Bryce Young, the news has died down of him going to Alabama, and then not expect him to actually go to Alabama when all is said and done.
There's just been nothing since about Alabama at all. It's USC and Texas.
Yeah. It's Alabama. Do you know what I mean? If Alabama turned around to the best wide receiver and say, hey, yo, look, come play with Bryce Young. That's it. Yeah. Done deal. And then he just, I mean, sure, he's going to want to go see Caleb Williams down in USC. Why not? What they're building down there is pretty powerful right now. Texas, that is absolutely murdering the stock of my boy, the Speed Demon. I don't want him to go there. I just don't want him to go there. But okay, we've got some other news. Cincinnati, Houston, and UCF are reportedly negotiating a settlement to exit the AAC and officially join the Big 12 on July 1st, 2023. The AAC wanted $35 million from each school, but reports are the deals are now between $17 to $20 million, so that's dropped down. The costs are for the schools to leave a year earlier due to AAC bylaws requiring departing teams to provide 27 months' notice. That's a peculiar number to give on a notice.
Yeah.
This was going to be a long time away, Ash, and now it could possibly be next year.
Yeah, well, it was obviously originally reported 2024, and then quite quickly after that, the three programs said, look, we want to go early. 2023 is when we want to go, and when that happens, it's then really back on the conferences. It's in their hands then, as you see. $35 million is what they wanted originally. I mean, 17 to 20 is still nothing to scoff at, but yeah, it's really in the AAC's court because they've dictated how much they want. They've obviously got, I want to say they've got four new teams themselves lined up who in turn are going to be coming in for 2023 now instead and have to pay their respective conferences. But yeah, they can sort of dictate what they want, really. They've gone in high with a 35 and then obviously it looks like they're going to agree with somewhere between 17 and 20.
Talking of lots of money, I don't know whether you saw this, Ash. I think it's either Kentucky or Memphis, one of those two schools, are proposing a $200 million stadium revamp. I want to say it's Kentucky. And they got this bit called the Halo at the very top of the... It's a bowl, so there's no roof. And the Halo is a little roof around one of the sideline stands. And under the Halo is going to be all the VIP boxes. It looks legit good, is what it...
That's cool. I like
it's
that.
Either Kentucky or Memphis. I saw it on... College game day, but
it is Memphis. I've just is it had Memphis? Look. Yeah, it looks, just, oh, that it looks cool. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, well,
obviously, we're not. If you're on the audio, we haven't got it on the screen. You're not missing anything at this
I'm
point.
I'm just looking at it online.
Yeah. Go check out Memphis's new stadium proposal. Doesn't it look cool?
Yeah, they want it done by 2025 as well, starting in 2023. If they turn that around in 2 years, I'll be shocked. Stadiums never get done that quickly, do they?
But it's not a rebuild, is it? It's just that...
They're expanding to it. Yeah, yeah, I suppose, yeah. But no, back onto the AAC and obviously the Big 12 as well. They are going in 2023, and I have found the schools that are going to be going into the AAC. It's Charlotte, Florida Atlantic, North Texas, Rice, UAB, UTSA. They are the six that are going to be going into the AAC, And also, obviously, of course, BYU are going to be joining the Big 12 as well next season. Now, I can't remember if BYU just said at the same time as the other three schools, or if they said earlier, but because they're independent, obviously they don't follow the same restrictions. They're going to have to pay something to get into the Big 12, but they don't have the same, you're going to have to give us this much money because they're in the independent conference. So it works slightly differently, and they can also dictate when they join.
Yeah, I would imagine it's at the same time as these other three teams.
It will be. Yeah, all four are joining on July 1st now, and it's those three just finalising their deals.
And is this going to be along the same lines of, if this does happen, are we going to be seeing Texas and Oklahoma moving over when they come in? Or are they going to stay there for the year until their projected move date?
That is a very good question, because they're not supposed to be going to until 2024, are they? I haven't seen anything about that. Sorry, 2025, I think it is, that Oklahoma and Texas go. I haven't seen that they're going to be going sooner.
Surely they're the driving force behind all of this initially, right? So you'd think that they would be the ones doing this move. I wonder if there's something AAC TV deal wanted before, so these teams want to get in to get the money for a new, I don't know, that's way beyond me, TV deals. I know that TV deals is big money for college football.
Yeah, well, I haven't seen anything about Texas and Oklahoma going early. So if they don't, and they don't go till 2025, we're going to have a big Big 12 in a couple of years.
It's going to be a big 12. Okay, that's all the news for today, Ash, unless anything else has slid into your DMs whilst we've been talking.
It has not that I've seen. No, there hasn't been anything that's come up that I've seen. There's a couple of bits and pieces, but nothing discussion worthy at the moment.
Okay, let's talk some super early preseason top 25, as we mentioned. This is from ESPN. Ash, I'm assuming we're going 25 backwards, right?
Yeah, of course, as always.
Okay, super. Would you like to go first or second?
I will go second. You go first.
Or I'm assuming we're doing this with this alternating.
Yeah, of course we are. Yeah, okay. Definitely.
For it. So at 25, we do have the Florida Gators. They were unranked at the finish of 2021. They had a 6-7 record, but a poor 2-6 record in the SEC. Sorry. Currently, according to ESPN, they are predicted 0% to make the college football playoff, which is understandable because this is Billy Napier's first year, the former Louisiana coach, bringing some solid recruiting connections into the Sunshine State. We talked about AR-15 earlier, Ash. It's good for Billy Napier to have his quarterback locked in. That was a pun related to the AR-15. If you didn't get it, read a book. What do we think about the Gators at 25?
I'm not surprised that the Gators are ranked at the moment. I don't expect them to be there at the end of the year, because I don't think they have enough depth this season to compete with the top teams in the SEC, unfortunately. I like Anthony Richardson. I do like Jack Miller coming in as well. I mentioned it earlier. I think that is going to be a good battle. But outside of that, I mean, nothing really... There's no real standouts that you expect to see from Florida. I don't think they're going to struggle, but I think they're going to have probably a similar season to what they did last year. Sort of middle of the road SEC team, unfortunately.
That's fair. 24, Ash.
Yeah, Mississippi State Bulldogs are at 24, which, again, does it surprise me? No, I think Mike Leach has got his offense there. He knows how to run it. Pass it, should I? Sorry, that was the complete wrong words. Yeah, he knows how to pass it, shall we say. And I think they've got Will Rogers coming in this season as well, who's I think he's going to be quite successful there. They've always had a good defense as well. They had a good defense last year. I don't expect that to change. They didn't lose many of their defensive starters from 2020. I think maybe 7 or 8 of them are gone. They weren't ranked last year. SEC is a horrendous conference. That's where a lot of these SEC teams fall down in their losses is to the big teams, which then of course affects their top 25. But if I had to, I would say Mississippi State will be ranked over Florida, at least if I was going to go between the two of them. One thing I will say about Mississippi State, though, is their schedule in 2022-23 season is horrendous. I was looking at it when I was doing a bit of research for this, but I think they've got Bama, they've got Texas A&M, Georgia, Auburn, Arkansas, but they've got them all at home, which maybe a positive. They are playing all those at home, but obviously, as I say, the SEC is a horrible conference, and yeah, I don't think it matters if you're home or away against some of those teams. they're away to Alabama as well, so chop that one up already.
That's what I was going to say. Will Rogers coming back is a good move for Mike Leach, but that schedule is horrendous because the SEC is so good. Yeah, 24 seems fair for MSU. Right, 23. Oregon at 23 feels... I don't know. We're so used to seeing them higher, but yeah. Are they going to be... I mean, they finished 22 last year after being, what, top four for... so long,
pretty much the whole year. Yeah, do you know what? This is a difficult one. I really don't know what to think about Oregon this year. Of course, they've got Bo Nix coming in. He's transferred from Auburn. Ty Thompson, the freshman from last year, he was freshman last year. Yeah. So there's going to be that battle between the two of them. They've got some good players. They've lost some massive players over the last couple of years. Obviously, Kayvon Thibodeau this year, Panay Sewell the year before. I don't know.
It's funny, isn't it? Because obviously Mario Cristobal's gone down to Miami now.
Yeah, new coach, yeah.
Dan Lanning is in from Georgia. The Oregon defense is normally pretty stout. Dan Lanning, obviously pretty good defense in Georgia there, but is that a case of the best players making Dan Lanning look good, or does Dan Lanning know how to make the best players even better on defense? That's going to be...
Those players from Georgia last year were incredible, and the draft goes to show just how good they were, but Lanning ran that defense so well. I think he will have a massive factor on this Oregon defense. It's the offense that maybe worries me slightly. Bo Nix, we've seen in the past, can be very sporadic. I do like Ty Thompson as a recruit. I'm very interested to see, firstly, if he wins out the job, and secondly, how he performs on the field. Trey Franklin, the wide receiver, is one of their big talents. Deontay Fortin is another one wide receiver. They've got some pieces there. It's just going to be interesting to see how that offense does under Cristobal. I would expect them to finish higher than 23, though.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised if they do another 22 like they did finish in 2022.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think you're right. I think they're a top 15 team just because of their schedule and how the Pac-12 tends to play out. 23, Ash. Another interesting one.
22, North Carolina. Yeah, North Carolina, UNC, as they're known by most. I'm not surprised to see them ranked. I think there is still some big talent there, especially on the offense. Josh Downs, of course, is easily the top wide receiver in this team. And again, as we spoke about wide receivers earlier, he's going to be right up there in conversations in 2023. Drake May, the second-year quarterback, I am really excited to see. Now Sam Howell's gone. The O-line was very suspect at times last year. And they lost half of their starters. So that is going to be a big factor for Drake May and this offense this year, much like it was for Sam Howell last year. He lost his weapons in both wide receiver and running backs. And he had a horrible offensive line Drake May, or Criswell could still win the job. He is obviously the more senior of the two, but I would be very surprised to not see Drake May as a starter. Whichever one of those, though, whichever one of them do win it, it's going to be a difficult task if this offensive line doesn't improve. They recruited well, which I think is going to help them. Their 2022 class looked great. They were right up there in terms of the recruiting class. And I can see a couple of those starting straight off the bat. Will they be ranked? I don't know. I think the ACC might have taken a step back this year, so there is potential for that to happen. I wouldn't be surprised to see them in and around this sort of area.
What they really need is Tony Grimes to really step up into that five-star lockdown corner that he was projected to be coming out of high school. When they recruited him, he was going to be, you know, the savior of the secondary for North Carolina. And so far, he's not been the guy they hoped. And I mean, they did get a five-star lineman, Travis Shaw, in the 2022 class, which is a great get. But when you've got somebody of Tony Grimes's possible pedigree, that he really needs to pop to make the defense stand out when the offense could be hither or nither, because we're just not sure, like you said, what we're going to get. So it'd be interesting to see. I think you're right. The ACC may have taken a step back, but I'm not so sure that they haven't all taken a step back together, and it could be just this huge melting pot of nothingness. I'm not sure.
It's true, true.
It all depends on Clemson, doesn't it? If Clemson's beatable, everybody thinks that they can have a piece of Clemson and then take on anybody. Whereas if Clemson gets out the claws and puts people to the sword early at Death Valley, it's a different conference to play in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. 21. Our first. No, it's not.
Yes.
I just did UNC. Sorry, we spoke about it so long. I already forgot.
Fine. I've got the Badgers at 21. Wisconsin are at 21. 9-4 last year. 6-3 in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Have a 0.6% chance to reach the college football playoff, which, after last year, I think they played well the second half of last year. And
yeah, considering how they started, they improved massively. I think they're one of the teams to watch in the Big Ten. A lot of it will come down to Graham Mertz, who had a phenomenal freshman year and then just sort of massively regressed in 2021, which everyone was so surprised about. He really struggled. I know he had a few injuries, but I was surprised to see him regress so badly from his freshman year. He will need to improve if this offense is going to succeed.
Yeah, it's surprisingly to me, they ranked number one nationally ahead of Georgia last year on defense. However, they have lost a lot of pieces of that puzzle. So they do recruit well defensively. We know that Wisconsin is always stout on defense. Have they done enough to back up the players they've lost in the draft? Only time will tell on that. The good thing, the Badgers do get lead rusher Braylon Allen back, and 1,268 yards with 12 touchdowns last season is pretty good, and that does give Graham Mertz the comfort of a decent running back at least. So,
Braylon Allen going back is great. You bob on with the defense there. It's going to be, that is what carried them through a lot of games last year, and they've lost their two key pieces on that. There's in Jake Sanborn and Leo Chanel, the middle linebackers, they're gone. I think this defense is still going to be one of the best. The Wisconsin defenses are always right up there. I don't expect that to change. I do expect them to take a slight step back with those two gone and some other key pieces gone. But their coach show well on the defensive side. It's more the offensive side that I'm not concerned about, but that I'm interested to see, because of course they've also lost Jake Ferguson, their tight end, who was one of their main players in their offensive game. And he's gone now. So they've got Graham Mertz, who needs to prove himself. They've got a Braylon Allen, who is going to get the ball a lot because he's going to be called upon a lot. And they've got a wide receiver and tight end core that needs to prove themselves.
Agreed.
20, we have Kentucky Wildcats, of course, in the SEC. They finished 10-3 last year, 5-3 in the SEC, which was probably a surprise to many. I'm not surprised on the back of that to see them ranked, and I'm not surprised to see them ranked about here. They've got one of the top quarterbacks in the class who is getting
steady.
One of he's getting a lot of attention at the moment as well.
The hype train, bro. Come on.
It is probably the hype train. It's one of those outside of the top guys that people are rooting for. I do fully expect him at this present moment in time to be a first round quarterback in 2023. This year is going to be a massive factor on that. One of the positives I did have is they have Chris Rodriguez as their running back. However, he's got himself into a bit of trouble this week, or was it last week? I can't remember. He's been arrested. He's been charged with DUI. So it remains to be seen what impact that's going to have on his year. If he's not back, that's a massive piece of their game plan gone, which will be hugely impactful for Kentucky. Of course, they've lost Wandale Robinson, their top wide receiver, who went first round in the draft, didn't he? Which I think, was it first round or second round? I think it might have been second round. He went a lot higher than people were expecting, but I can't remember. He went to Giants, didn't he?
Yeah, he went
to Giants, which people were surprised about because obviously he's almost a carbon copy of Tony. He went second round, early second round, but a lot of people were surprised he went that high. However, he's gone. They've lost a lot of their defense. They're potentially not going to have Chris Rodriguez. I don't know. They picked up some big wins last year. Can they do it again this year? I'm not so sure. Again, SEC being the conference it is, I don't see them being ranked for long if they are ranked when the official APs come out at the start of the season.
Interesting. This feels, I think Kentucky are one of those teams that are sneaky good for a top 22 to 17 spot. So I think having them at 20 is, I think it's just the safe thing to do. And I feel like maybe they might be 19th come the end of the season.
They do just grind out wins, don't they?
Like, yeah.
They are a team that play well as a whole, which may be why Will Levis looks as good as he does, because their team plays as well as it does. But I don't know. They've lost a lot.
They have. Baylor are at 19. They finished last year at number 5 after a superb 12-2 season. 7-2 in the Big 12. Baylor just smashed it last year. Dave Aranda brought Baylor up from 2 wins to a Big 12 championship and a Sugar Bowl victory in a year. So that is a significant turnaround. I think they could do it again. I'm not saying they're going to finish 5th, but I think they'll finish ranked, because what I saw of them last year, they're a really, really good outfit, Baylor. Quarterback has changed. Blake Sharpen is now going to be the starter, not Jerry Bohannon. Am I correct, Ash?
Yeah, he's gone to...
I can't remember which is why I lent you.
Yeah.
It's not Baylor, that's for sure. 72% passer last year, 5 TDs, no picks. However, the offensive line is mostly back, which really helps Blake Sharpen. This is the season, Ash, that obviously last year they won the Big 12 championship game and won the bowl game. Do we think before the big teams come into the Big 12, this is one of Baylor's last big chances?
I think so. I think it will be, yes. I'm concerned about their offense. They were middle of the road in the Big 12 last year. Their defense got them through a lot of games. Jerry Bohannon is gone. He wasn't great. He's gone. Blake Sharp had come in and he didn't look that good. They don't have any pass catchers. Sorry, Gavin Holmes is probably their best pass catcher. He missed all of last year with an injury. He's had a few injuries. Apart from that, I want to say all of the other receivers returning from last year don't have any contributions. Everybody's gone from the wide receiver room, apart from Gavin Holmes and the guys who didn't really have any contributions last year. Maybe I think honestly, I think if I remember correctly,
That's worrying if that's true.
Baldwin is the only person who even had a catch or two last year, if I'm correct in saying. Obviously, Gavin Holmes, he's there. He is a good wide receiver if he can stay fit. I'm not so sure he can. They've also lost Tristan Ebner and Abraham Smith, their running backs. And again, Craig Williams is now their starting running back, who again is a good running back, but he missed all of last year with a knee injury. So, well, a lot of last year with a knee injury. There's so many question marks on this offense, but their defense are going to probably pull them through a lot of games again in 2022/23.
Yeah. This next one, I love this next team.
Yeah, so 18 is the Hurricanes, Miami Hurricanes of the ACC. Last year they finished 7-5, 5-3 in the ACC. I mean, I was quite surprised to see this here. Is this an overreaction to the quarterback, Tyler Van Dyke, who is getting...
Don't say his name. Don't say his name. I don't want people knowing about Tyler Van Dyke.
All right.
I don't think it is. I think Tyler Van Dyke played well last year.
It was
supposed to be the D'Eriq King year. And Tyler Van Dyke, was he a freshman last year? I think he was a freshman last year.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
I think there was either two of them. One of maybe there was a sophomore and a freshman. There were two guys fighting for the job. Van Dyke won out and played fantastically well.
Yeah.
And I think this is a good mixture of Mario Cristobal coming in and Tyler Van Dyke being really good, that I think Miami could be sneaky good this year.
Oh no, I what I meant by an overreaction is because of how good Tyler Van Dyke looked last year and the expectations surrounding him. Cristobal, you're right, is going to be coming in and we'll freshen it up. I do like that tight end, Will Mallory. He's impressed me from what I saw of him last year. I don't know. This is an interesting one for me. I haven't really had a great deal. I haven't looked a great deal at Miami's as a whole in terms of their depth chart this year and their roster. So seeing it at 18 initially surprised me. But then when I thought about it with Tyler Van Dyke, it didn't surprise me as much because there is a hell of a lot of hype around him this year.
Yeah, and they're obviously building for the future. They've got a lot of young players on the roster now. And Mario Cristobal, as we both know, as everybody knows, Ash, is a very, very good head coach. So
yeah,
I expect Miami to be around that point, if not a little bit higher, with some good results in the ACC. Let's move to 17. Got the Ole Miss Rebels. They finished 11 last year. 10-3 in the 10-3, 6-2 in the SEC. Sorry, however, we do know that they are missing one key piece from that, and that is Mr. Matt Corral. However, they have added a couple of decent pieces, one being Jackson Dart, and the other being Zach Evans. So you lose Matt Corral, you get Jackson Dart and Zach Evans.
I mean, it's like, yeah. I don't think this offense is going to miss a step if Jackson Dart plays as we expect him to. He was highly rated coming into USC. Obviously, he's moved on for obvious reasons. And Zach Evans is an unbelievable running back, one of the best running backs that's going to be coming out next year. If anything, it's difficult to say because I think they finished top in the SEC on offense. This offense could be better and Matt Corral's gone, but it could be better with Jackson Dart and Zach Evans in town. And that is what is going to be the factor for them, as it was last year. Their offense is going to pull them through a lot of games. They've got a lot of new players in defense, which hopefully we'll see an improvement on that. But I fully expect to see Dart and Evans on the field a lot again next year. And I expect them, as I say, to perform as well, if not better, than Corral and Co. did in 2022.
Yeah, agreed. Ash, can you hear a harmonica?
I can hear something in the background, yes.
Yeah, there appears to be maybe some form of fight about to break out, and somebody either playing music to it on a harmonica, or one of the fight participants is playing a harmonica. I can't see. I can only apologise for the background noise, Rush Nation. It's very warm today and the window is open. Yeah, I think you're completely right, Ash, and this ranking of 17 may actually be very low for Ole Miss, considering if Zach Evans can be the running back that we know he is, it's a great landing spot for him heading into the draft next year. I think 11's right. 17 could be low on the fact that Matt Corral's gone and the what if of Jackson Dart. But I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. It is a little bit of a what if, but they are proven players. Obviously, Dart in limited fashion at USC, but both of them are proven players that I cannot see. I think they're going to do really well at Ole Miss. 16, we have our second Big Ten team, and that is Michigan State. Somewhat surprise packages of last year, but an incredibly impressive team overall. But 11-2 finished 7-2 in the Big Ten. They have, of course, lost Kenneth Walker, but Peyton Thorne, the quarterback, is back.
Yeah, but is that a good thing?
What, that Peyton Thorne's back?
Yeah, like I understand he was good last year, but that he wasn't great. Peyton Thorne is a game manager. The guy is not an elite prospect.
He's a good game manager. He's had another year under his belt. Yes, Kenneth Walker's gone, which was a massive piece of their offense last year, but they've brought in Jarek Bruchard and Jalen Berger. Bruchard from Colorado and Berger was at Wisconsin. They brought those two in as running backs who have impressed in college already. So I think Thorne being that game manager works well for this Michigan State team because they're another team that play as a unit. They've also brought in a lot of players on the defensive side of things as well, which they needed because at times their defense was very suspect last year.
Yeah, I don't disagree with anything you've said. I just think that because of how Michigan State played last year, maybe Peyton Thorne got too many accolades. I know it was all the Kenny Walker show. This isn't me hating on Peyton Thorne, and I would love for him to come out and say, not say, but then it's not going to be a personal attack on me, obviously, because he had no idea of my existence. But I just don't think when your defense was as porous, like you say, as it was last year, is Peyton Thorne the guy able to now slice open teams at will if they need it? I think they need those two running backs, as you mentioned, to really take over from Kenny Walker. Otherwise, I'm not sure Peyton Thorne's the guy I want trying to lead a comeback.
No, they need them. They need those two running backs to impress and they need their defense to improve. You are correct. Can they pull off what they did last year with that 11-2 and finishing ninth in the AP rankings and getting so close to the playoffs? I don't know. I don't think so. It's going to be... All of these teams around here, a lot of them have got a big changes, so it's going to be very interesting to see exactly how they perform when they hit the field.
Yeah, one of those teams is Utah. They are at 15. They finished last year at 12th with a 10-4 record. Okay, where are Utah? So, obviously, Cam Risen took over the job last year. Was superb for Utah. The team were really good. They've obviously lost Devin Lloyd, which is a massive blow. Mm-hmm. And they also lost Britton Covey. But they do have Tavion Thomas, star running back, returning. Scored 21 touchdowns last year on a team that is defensively based, likes to run the football. The fact Cam Rising is there, had another year under his belt, like you said about Peyton Thorne. Tavion Thomas is back. This Utah team at 15, I think, is a little bit low.
Low?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't think they've lost too much.
It remains to be seen what sort of an impact losing Devin Lloyd. They've also lost a couple of their key cornerbacks as well. Safeties. And Nemp Suell, the other linebacker. I don't know.
Cameron
Rising. I think having Cameron Rising and Tavion Thomas coming back is a massive plus on the offensive side. And again, they've got a pretty good offensive line. And if they perform as well as they did last year, I wouldn't be surprised to see a similar outing from Tavion Thomas and Cameron Rising. It's just the defense. Have they been able to replace those players that played so well for them last year? That's my only question.
Yeah, no, it is fair. And maybe it's my love of the state of Utah being a little bit biased here. But I just think that Utah are like one of those teams akin to Wisconsin where they just seem to always have a good defense. And there's players that come through that start to shine a light when others fade. So I don't know. Maybe my bias is a little bit too strong here.
Yeah, I don't know. I think the offense is going to be a big factor more than it was last year, just with the losses they've had on defense. But moving on to number 14, we have another SEC team. This time it is Texas A&M. They finished 8-4 last year and a 4-4 in the SEC. Jimbo Fisher's recruiting is the first thing we've got to talk about because they pulled off an absolute masterstroke. Obviously, the player, the 2022 and also in 2023, they've got loads of players coming in as well. But I don't know what is going on down in A&M, what they're saying to people, but wow, they absolutely smashed it out of the park. And they've added everywhere on the recruiting side, yeah, and also transfer as well. Let's not forget, they have obviously Zach Calzada's gone. He went to Auburn. But they've got Max Johnson, who's coming from LSU. They've got Haynes King still there, who has obviously missed a lot of the year injured. And they've also got the five-star Connor Weigman. They've got three starting quarterbacks. Obviously, Weigman's a question mark because he's a new recruit, but you're not five-star for no reason. But Max Johnson and Haynes King are both starting and good starting quarterbacks as well that are competing for that job. And then they've just improved everywhere else. The only question mark potentially is, can they get over not having Spiller there? But then my argument back to myself on that is they have got Devon Achane. I can't pronounce his bloody surname.
How do you spell it, Ash?
A-C-H-A-N-E. Achane? Achane? Devon Achane?
I like Achane.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go.
So Spiller's a massive loss. He had one of the best running back seasons last year, obviously overshadowed by Walker and Bryce Hall. But he was right up there, Spiller, with them in terms of the 2021 season. And so I don't think they've lost too much on anywhere, and they've improved almost everywhere. This is too low for me for Texas.
Yeah, yeah. I was just going to say, 40, yeah, they were unranked last year, but 14 seems hyper low for one of the, if not the highest recruiting class.
Yeah, it was the highest recruiting class of 2022. And yeah, you're right. It's probably one of the highest we've seen. Maybe the reservation is there is a lot of these, that there's a lot of freshmen that are quite close to being starters in terms of what is in front of them. But that isn't always a negative. A lot of these can step right in and be starters. Jacoby Matthews, the five-star safety, I would not be surprised to see him start day one. Gabriel Brownlow Dindy, the edge, expect to see him start day one. Evan Stewart, the wide receiver, these are all five-star recruits. They are, I fully expect them all to be starters when A&M hit the field next year. And let's not forget, they've got Ionis Smith, the wide receiver, in the slot as well, who is also an unbelievable talent. This is too low for me, for A&M. I would have them inside the top 10. Yes, there are a lot of question marks because there is a lot of new players, but just everything that they've done so far, A&M are a team that people need to look out for this year, despite the fact they're in the SEC.
Yeah, and they come into this year knowing that they can beat Alabama, and that's with last year's team as well. So, yeah. At 13, we have Oklahoma State. The Cowboys finished last year at number 7. 12-2 record of an 8-1 in the Big 12. So the Cowboys had a stellar year last year. The top defense in college football a year ago has lost its coordinator after Jim Knowles took the Ohio State job. Mm-hmm. So that's a good move for your Buckeyes, Ash. But they did, however, lose three key pieces in the secondary. Spencer Sanders. I've never been sold on Spencer Sanders, Ash. And
yeah, he's very up and down, isn't he?
Yeah.
In terms of one minute he's got some think he'll pull something out of the bag. Next minute, he'll make the silliest mistake you've ever seen, and you'll be baffled by it. He's so up and down.
Yeah, he's almost superb and terrible, and there is no middle ground with Spencer Sanders. And for a team that's got defense, it doesn't feel like the right quarterback for the Cowboys, if that makes sense. I don't know. They do not have Jaylen Warren coming back, which is a big loss for Spencer Sanders. I don't know if this is a fair ranking for the Cowboys, and I feel like they're more of an 18 to 20 ranked team for me right now.
Yeah, I would agree. I think the question mark over Spencer Sanders, they didn't lose a lot on offense, but what they did lose was Tay Martin, who is their best wide receiver. And they've also lost Jaylen Warren, the running back, who was their best running back. So apart from that, that's about it that they've lost, but they've lost basically their two key pieces. They've not only lost their coordinator, but they have been ravaged on defense as a whole. So that whole unit, along with the coordinator, is going to be almost new. I think they lost six of their top 10 tacklers from last year.
That's a lot.
It's a complete change on the defensive side. I agree with you. I think 13 is maybe a little high, and we're probably coming off of the back of what they did last year. Yeah, I don't know. I think they're probably, you're right, going to be sort of 18 to 20 range for me. 12, we have another Big Ten team. This time it is the Penn State Nittany Lions. They, of course, finished 7-6 last year after what was a terrible start. They managed to pull it back. And again, I think they're a team that's they've kept a lot of their offense, but they've lost a lot of their defense. So I don't know. Sean Clifford's back, which is a massive plus for them. But they have lost a whole host of their top talent. Let's be honest. They've got a new defensive coordinator in Manny Diaz. I don't know. It's always
You cannot lose Noah Kane to LSU, and
just
one of the best running backs in football goes to LSU, and
that is a big impact. Yeah,
especially when we know the stature of Penn State running backs from previous years. Mm. You know, Saquon Barkley, and then the year after, Miles Sanders.
Yeah, their defense is still good despite who they lost. They've still got Joey Porter Jr. there. They've still got Curtis Jacobs there, the linebacker. I don't know. This is a really difficult one. Like you say, I think losing Noah Kane is massive for this team.
I think it's fair. I think it's actually probably bob on. I think 12 is.
Yeah, I would say so at the moment. Off of their, if you look at their roster as a whole, how they performed the back end of last year, I think the start of last year was an outlier. I would be very surprised to see them do that again. They've had a couple of bad years. I think this is about right. Maybe slightly lower. Maybe I'd say maybe 15, 16, somewhere sort of there. I think a couple of teams you've spoken about below, I would probably personally have above Penn State.
Yeah. Talking of bad years, at 11, we have LSU. The Tigers were unranked after a 6-7 record last year, 3-5 in the SEC. But let's be honest, LSU checked out of college football almost instantly last year. They now have Brian Kelly as head coach from Notre Dame. Brian Kelly won a lot of games at Notre Dame. Notre Dame was an independent school. Can he do it at LSU? That is the question. LSU, though, are one of the perennial powerhouses of college football from recent years. Has one of the best receivers in Keyshawn Butte. LSU have recruited well recently, regardless, and they do have some top-tier talent. They lost Stingley Jr. in the draft, and they also lost, who is the cornerback that went to Bama, Ash?
Bansford.
Yeah. All I can think of is Stuart Sink, and I know it's not the bald golfer he used to play.
Oh, Eli Ricks.
That's the one.
Eli Ricks, yeah. Sorry,
so
yeah.
When you lose Eli Ricks and Derek Stingley, the secondary is obviously an issue. But
yeah.
I just think Brian Kelly is the right type of head coach that can get LSU turned around. And I think 11, I think 11 is that sweet spot for LSU where if they play really well into the LSU that perhaps we think they could be, this might be a little low. If they stutter Brian Kelly's first year, have a good few wins, maybe end up around the 6-7. Around like maybe 8-5 or 9-4, then this might be a bit high. But I think this is probably the right spot for LSU at this point of the season.
Yeah, I would say this is about right. Obviously, they've got Jaden Daniels from Arizona State. He's transferred in. Of course, they've got Kayshon Boutte, the wide receiver. John Emery, the running back who missed all of last year. He was ineligible because of academic issues, I believe. He's back and he had a good 2020 in what was a shortened 2020. I think Jaden Daniels or Miles Brennan could still come back from this injury and win the starting job. I don't think they will. I think Jaden Daniels will win it. I think there's enough between them three to pull this team forward. The secondary is a huge question mark. Obviously, they lost everybody, basically. Stingley and Cordell Flute have gone to the NFL. Eli Hicks has gone to Bama. They've also lost Dwight McLaughlin, who was he wasn't the starter, but he was the top backup. He's gone to Arkansas. They've used the portal to bring in a whole new secondary, basically. So that's going to have to gel together. Yeah, I think it's going to really be riding on what this offense can do, and can Brian Kelly get these guys moving straight away?
Yeah, Ash.
Yes.
Conscious of time here, do you want to roll through the top 10, or do you want to do the top 10 and what we were going to do, which is the Heisman top Heisman candidates as a separate pod later in the week? The choice is entirely up to you.
Yeah, I mean, we are already over an hour, and I think the top 10 is going to have even more discussion than the others. So I think we do this as a two-parter. We come back later in the week and do another one.
Yeah, I'm fully on board. I think it would be remiss of us to just gloss over the top
10. I agree. I don't want to be rushing 20 minutes worth of the top 10 when there's probably about an hour's worth minimum that we can discuss on the top 10.
Yeah. I think it's only fair to Rush Nation and to us, because I'm learning so much as we go through this. So it would be poor of us, I think, Ash, to gloss over it. Rush Nation, the secret was that Ash and I will be covering off the Heisman candidates. The odds may have changed by the next pod, so that list might be different. It's not going to, Ash, let's be honest.
Probably not, but you never
not know. Until the season starts, so we're gonna be seeing anything. Rush Nation, that is going to do it for the first of this now two-part series on the ESPN Top 25. Ash and I managed to talk more than normal, which should be no surprise right now. Ash, you definitely sure about this?
Sure about what? The two-part?
Doing a two-part.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, Top 10 needs its own podcast. It's got to. There's some big teams.
There's 10 big teams. And
there's 10 big teams, yeah. And We'll see the big team that I'm surprised aren't in here that I was hoping to mention, but we'll save that for next week as well.
And that is the cliffhanger we are going to leave today's podcast on, Rush Nation. Thank you for joining us for part one. Part two will be with you later on in the week. Ash, as always, my man, it's been a pleasure. Catch you down the road in a couple of days' time. Rush Nation, Saturdays are for rushing too.
HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.